Coming up on the podcast, with Steve Price wanting his players to be the brides rather than the bridesmaids. Are there wedding bells in the air and a Challenge Cup funeral? It's not quite the search for the Holy Grail, but there's a pair of shiny balls gone missing. Tackle Banks goes live. We head over to Italy to find out the latest fashions in bridal wear. There's an ugly Catalans review on and off the field. And we look at next week's Saints game. And will Sam come up with even one statistical fact? This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Hello, I'm Rob London here, and I'm back in the swing of things. But talking of swings, a gentleman that lives not too far from the swing bridge and recently had a large hedgerow removed from his garden, with the growing speculation it's soon to be replaced with nothing but lavender. Yes, he's the oldest swinger in Warrington. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
We're very well, Sam. Now, keeping in that sort of tradition of my paragraph there, I understand you were camping last night at a swingers event.
I'm not quite sure it was a swingers event, but yes, camping in the Badlands between Warrington and St Helens, just on the border at Collins Green. Lovely event, a couple of good friends of mine, and yes, camping with Mrs Sankey. She was very happy. I kept her warm all night.
Oh, I tell you, last time I went camping, I went for about six pisses in the night. By about the fourth piss, I was just pissing outside the tent. There was a huge sign up saying no urinating outside your tent, but, you know, four times into the night, it was too much. It's like a river when we came out in the morning. Anyway, not to be outdone, he resides in a hamlet renowned for a coat of arms with the village motto of "Where anything goes." Although based on the average age of the village resident, expect the keys you pick up in the bowl, leading to your driving home, an old age pensioner's disability scooter, or the starting key for a Thora Heard stair lift. Well, he certainly lifts our spirits. It's Dennis Waywell.
Oh, I don't know about lifting your spirits. I've got about half a tum of plums on the tree behind me. If you see anything falling, that'll be them. And that's what attracts all the people of the village I live.
And you went to another music festival last night, Dennis. You sent me an atrocious music clip of what can only be described as some bloke playing jazz.
Yeah, that was the Specials at Glastonbury Abbey. And I was dancing around to various... I don't even know what half of them were, but Ghost Town came on and everybody knows it. Why is Sam stripping off?
What's going on?
It's bloody off here.
I mean, talking of Specials, he is a bit special, isn't he, to be fair? So you're not wearing your What Would Brian Bevan T-shirt, Sam, which is a little bit disappointing.
It's not arrived yet.
We'll move on to that in a bit. Anyway, we should probably start off with what Steve Price was quoted as saying this week. He said, "We want to be brides at Wembley this time and not the bridesmaids. It's all getting too easy for us, Steve. It's starting to sound like the perfect idea for a new blockbuster film."
It's the sequel we've all been waiting to see. Four weddings and a challenge cup. Starring Steve Price as Hugh Grant.
Fuck!
Lee Briers playing the Dipsy flatmate.
To the station.
In keeping with incompetent tradition, all trains cut final weekend are cancelled between Warrington Bankey and Houston. Thank you.
Fuck!
We'll take Bob Eccles' car.
The one Phil Ford once nicked.
That's the one.
Carl Fitzpatrick as the beautiful Andy McDowell.
His name's Carl.
Hanson.
Wigginer.
Interesting.
CEO.
Really?
Used to play for Salford. Took over from the fuckwit Draper. Out of your league.
Ben Thaler fills in for Rowan Atkinson.
I shall now ask if you all freely undertake the obligations of Super League. Bernard, repeat after me. I do solemnly declare...
I do solemnly declare...
That I know not of any Super League lawful impediment...
That I know not of any Super League lawful impediment...
Why I, Lydia...
Why I, Bernard...
Sorry. Why, I... Bernard Godfrey St. John Ellis.
Why, I, Bernard Godfrey St. John Delaney.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I've done it wrong, haven't I? I do apologise. Look, I'll have to go to the big screen now. Robert, are you there? Oh, what would Mother do?
Deck Patton is Hugh Grant's deaf brother that no one remembers the name of.
Excuse me, who is that young man over there doing all the completely aimless pointing?
His name's Declan!
What a dreamboat, but why all the bizarre pointing? Is he deaf?
No, he's fucking useless!
Gosh!
With cameos from Mike Cooper and Chris Hill as that cute gay couple.
Markle, look, you've got a full English breakfast all over your face.
Oh, stop it, Christopher, and get away from me with those tissues.
I've told you, Markle, you need to watch your cholesterol.
It's Brigadoon, Christopher. It's bloody Brigadoon.
Ask me how I'd remember him. Well, that's where I run out of words. So if you forgive me, I'd like to turn to the words of another splendid bugger. W.H. Halliwell. Stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephone. Prevent the wire flyer from sprinting with his juicy bone. Silence the South Sand crowd and muffle their drones. Ring out Wolfie. Let the mourners arrive at the Halliwell Jones. Let the aeroplane circle moaning overhead. St. Helens, we're going to beat you. You're fucking dead. Put primrose and blue bows round all the Warrington vicars. Let Ben Murdoch Missilla wear black cotton knickers. He was my up and under, my fitness beat test, my Friday night sky game and my Sunday rest. My noon, my midnight, me comb over, my song. I thought love would last forever when I wore Akawala's thong. The marquee signings are not wanted now. Send them back, everyone. Pack up the moon and dismantle Lynham's interception run. Pour away Timothy Taylor's and sweep up my tears. For nothing good can ever come now to even Lee Breers.
Ralph Rimmer plays himself.
G'day, the name's Steve.
Don't be ridiculous. Steve died 20 years ago.
I think you're confusing me with a different Steve.
Are you telling me I don't know my own brother?
Roger Draper also plays himself.
I say, old chaps, rather bad luck not having a stag do it all. What?
Oh, but we did, Roger. No, we didn't, Roger. Resilient.
Ah, oh, there you are, Stephen.
Sorry, Vicar, I didn't see you there.
Oh, that's okay. I often do the same. Warm up the vocals, eh? Although with me, it's more canty, canty, cant, cant. Does anyone have any reason why they should not win the Challenge Cup? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Yes, you young man.
Oh, Christ, it's Declan.
Why is he pointing aimlessly like that, like a chocolate pudding?
He says the coach is having doubts about Warrington's left-hand defence.
And do you, Steve? Do you have doubts? Do you?
I do.
You bastard!
Do you think, Carl, we could run away from this Challenge Cup and forget all about the left-edge defence? Maybe head to Old Trafford in October in the pouring rain?
Is it raining? I hadn't noticed.
Four Weddings and a Challenge Cup. Out now. Available at all good cinemas. But I'd probably just download it on Pirate Bay. I feel it in my
toe. Thank you. Only took me about 4.5 days to put that together, 18 hours a day. But I, any moment now, I will be invited to the BAFTAs. So, of course, Dennis, you've never watched Four Weddings and a Funeral, not having a sort of a warm heart. You wouldn't know about the script to that, would you?
No, absolutely no idea. I'll be honest, it was completely lost on me.
Dear. The thing about doing this podcast, when I do it at night, I'm the consummate professional. I'm on the ball. I'm ready to rock and roll, just like I am at 7 o'clock in the morning. But when I get you two dead shits on at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, you've got nothing to give, have you? I'm just filling in dead air the whole time.
I can imagine the listeners going, oh, don't bother this week. It's a Sunday show.
Oh, dearie me. Okay, well, let's get on with it then. The Catalans review. The Warrington team was Ratchford, Lynham, Goodwin King, Mamo, Patton, Austin Hill, Clark Cooper, Hughes Curry, and Jason Clark. Interchange bench was Philbin, Akawala, Harvey Levesque came in, and Matty Davis. The final score was Catalans 30, Warrington 10. Where have I heard that before? We also saw McLaurin and Tompkins red carded at the end, and Mamo got two yellow cards, so I'm not quite sure if that makes a red, Sam. Does that make a red? Not quite sure.
Not in this game.
I'll read out a few quotes before we sort of move on to it. Price said, "We always have good challenges against Catalans every time we play. It really was disappointing how the game finished. You don't like to see that, do you?" When asked whether he thought the events on the pitch had influenced those off it, Price responded, "What do you reckon? I think you're answering your own question there." Price also criticised the officiating of James Child, a sentiment that was echoed by his opposing coach, Steve McNamara. "I'm clearly not happy with the whole game," he said, "in terms of how it was managed." McNamara did go on to say that he hit back at suggestions about Price deliberately that Catalans had slowed the game down. He said the best team won today and the best team won by a long way in the end, and the result was correct. Boys, did either of you see any of the game?
Yes, on my dodgy feed on my phone, in the middle of a marquee, it did keep cutting out. So I think I must caveat what I say in that way, that I've only seen about 2/3 of it.
All right, so we'll start with you, mate. Then come on, what was your opinion of it? Give us a sort of the overview of what you thought.
And you could.
I have to agree with Matt Manara. The best team did win. Regardless of the concern or suggestion that occasionally Catalan's tactics are a bit Wigan-esque under Maguire, and they're a bit dodgy and playing to the line all the time, but you just have to look at the meters made. Chris Hill was our best meter maker, 86 meters. Cooper's second best, 84. Meanwhile, Catalan had five players making more than 100 metres. We missed 36 tackles. We lost our main playmaker on, I think it was about 25 minutes. And in the end, we were well beaten.
How many errors, Sam?
I've not looked them up a lot, I would guess, but I don't know the number. I've not looked those numbers up.
I watched it from a pub in Glastonbury on my phone, and I walked all the way to the Abbey, and I continued watching it. And every time I was sort of like looking down as I was walking, it seemed to be that there was a stopping play for an error, a penalty or something like that. It seemed to be just, you know, one error. You know, we're not making a consistent sort of improvement on the error rates and penalties and things.
Mm. Yeah. And for me, if we take out the semi-final last week, which was an excellent performance, wasn't it? But if we take that semi-final out, our league form, we've only won two of the last six. And in those games that we've lost, those four games that we've lost, We've scored 14 points, 10 points, 12 points, 18 points, and again last night, 10 points. We're not scoring. We're just not scoring anywhere near enough.
I think when I was watching it, though, with about, you know, two-thirds of the game gone, there's certainly a lot of effort there. It didn't feel like you know, you were going to sort of get... It was going to run away from them in any way, and they just totally give up. I think it was...
No, I agree. And even with our best friend Declan, there's never a doubt about effort, but something is just not quite there at the minute, week in, week out. We're able to raise ourselves for these big games, but we're just looking a bit dodgy in the league.
Mm, okay. All right. Well, I did watch the whole game. I watched it this morning on repeat. First time in a long time I've been able to just sit up in bed, have a bit of breakfast and watch the game. I thought the first 25 to 35 minutes we were spot on in our defence. I thought we were absolutely superb. We held our line virtually all the time. What unfortunately happened was we just started to push it a little bit. And as you know, Darryl Clark running from the base of the play of the ball, even though he was terrific, Sam, on a couple of occasions, he threw out balls he didn't need to coming off his own line and we gave the ball up. And that just seemed to me just to tilt it their way before half time. And then in the second half, Lynham did the very same. He came off his own line after we'd been under about 5 or 6 minutes of pressure. I think physically, literally, he got pushed back. And sort of his ego metaphorically also wasn't the best, because in that pushback, he decided to throw the ball out rather than just going to ground and taking one on the chin. And we lost the ball again. And it was those turnarounds which led to the Catalan forwards having far more yards in their legs than we did. Hill was another one that was at it. You know, at times we've spoken about Hill and niggling away, and there's no doubt that Greg Bird niggles in every tackle, whether he's got the ball or he's tackling. You always come away from a Greg Bird situation, either with a penalty against you or a penalty for. I mean, Mamo drops the ball. He seems absolutely shit scared of the high ball. On other occasion, he just lost the ball coming off his own line. There was just going on to Childs. It was clear from the start that he just wasn't imposing his authority on the game. And there was a tweet I saw on Twitter this morning where one bloke had said, he reminds me of a supply tutor we took apart at school. And you just do feel a little bit like that with Childs. Had he got, you know, to grips with it early on and just sent one to the sin bin and said, right, next one who does it, you're going off. But he didn't, and it just escalated all game. And there's no doubt that both teams were as bad as each other. They were all as stupid as each other with all these penalties they were giving away. But Childs obviously added to the cocktail. Austin's injury, do we know how bad it is?
Well, let's keep fingers crossed that there's no ligament damage, and it's just a twisted or sprained ankle. There's been no... When I was looking through the news clips this morning, there was no news on quite what the injury was yet.
I've got something on tackle bags next week to cover this. Just going back to your point about that, one thing about Warrington is that the defence is looking really good. In terms of, like, you know, there was some really good defence shown, but there was a table out in the week and it showed, like, the top tacklers in Super League. Danny Houghton, I think, is at the top. Yeah. And I tweeted back, and when you actually look at all the top tacklers are in all the teams at the bottom of the table. So, you know, at that table in itself tells a story that, yeah, you're very good at defence, or you're doing a lot of defence. It means that actually you've not got the ball, we're dropping the ball. Penalties, etc. So it does tell a story. So every time we talk about, oh yeah, we've got good defence, essentially what we're saying is we've probably lost the game.
Yeah, we look more like we did last week. Hull last week, I thought the first 25 minutes of this game, we looked not too dissimilar to the game against Hull. And you thought, okay, we're going to soak up all this pressure and then we're going to just confidently go down the other end and score. And we almost did that. I mean, we did at one point get ourselves in front, but you just can't give that amount of ball away. But you also need a stronger referee at Catalans, and he is weak. There's no question about it. And if both coaches are now questioning Childs, he's got to be up for something to say. Come on, mate, you've got to toughen up out there on the field, because it wasn't good enough.
Is that up to Ralph Rimmer? Is he going to do something?
Hey, I tell you one thing, Mamo is rapid, isn't he? He turned round and caught, was it their centre who got away? And their centre's not slow by any means. And Mamo did catch him. He's certainly got a whole heap of pace.
We talked about that last week, didn't we? He's got an error in him. He's got some errors in him. But as as your first reserve player to come in, he's got stuff to offer. He's got enthusiasm. He's got pace. He just needs to try and cut a couple of these errors out.
Yeah, he has. We were desperately short of any creative ball players bar Ratchford once Blake Austin went off. There was nothing else there to give. And Phil Clark went on about some magical pass that Depp Patton threw for the try for Mamo. It was just a pass. It was no more than that. It was just a pass. Dennis, you saw Depp Patton there in the corner tackling for one of the Catalans' tries, and you sent me a little text. Do you want to sort of repeat that text? Doesn't even remember, Sam. He was that pissed. He doesn't even remember what he said.
I think it was me who sent it.
Oh,
I
think I said, there you go. Thank God for that.
And I think I thought to myself, as I was typing one word, I thought, no, we'll read this out tomorrow. So I changed it. I toned it down to bloody awful, I think.
I watched the St. George Widdop back with St. George today, and he doesn't look like he's lost any of his sort of pace or tackling, and he put a few good kicks in that were absolutely spot on. Where's he going to fit in?
Well, I'll tell you where he won't fit into, and that is in the IQ of the Warrington players, because he is far more intelligent than all that lot put together. And had he been out there yesterday, he would have got them all in a circle and said, lads, just calm down. Let's just all calm down. Stop acting like children and we might win this. But I mean, I've been to my son's, you know, he's 4 years of age. I've been to more birthday parties where better behaved for children have been in comparison to that Warrington pack yesterday. It was utter drivel and they acted like children. They really did.
Toby King was good, wasn't he?
Oh dear. Well, we should probably move on to the prediction, shouldn't we? Let's just have a look at this now. So
Sam went 28. Losing you. My signal's gone. Bye. I've gone.
Oh dear. How many points do I get for predicting the exact correct score of 30 points to 10 to Catalans? Do we just stop the competition here now? Is that what we do?
Yeah, we'll give you 10. 10 points for that.
Good to hear you. Dennis, are you all right, mate? You seem to be fading a little bit there. You really are struggling this morning. What were you drinking last night?
Started off on a beer, and then I went on to gin and tonic, and then back to beer, and then back to gin and tonic. it didn't work. Not a good combination. Got my chasers all mixed up.
You do look a little stuck. Grey.
Yeah, I should have just stuck Timothy Taylor's, and I would be feeling absolutely fantastic this morning with their new beer, Le Champion, I think it's called, to celebrate the Tour de France. Still here waiting for that box.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, isn't it? Okay, well, let's move on to the table. It is now mathematically possible, if St. Helens keep winning, that the entire, every team in Super League will finish closer to the bottom team than they will to the top team. I don't think that's ever happened again. We are starting to, it's creeping up now, a Hull and Wigan and Catalans. Hull just the 2 points behind, Wigan now four behind, and Catalans four. But we've got such a significant goal difference, it really is another point. So even with this poor form, Sam, it does look like we might limp still home into second place.
I'm not convinced about second place, but yes, you're right. The points difference is huge. We're plus 239, Hull are minus 53, Wigan plus 68, Catalan minus 85. But then in sixth place, Castleford just plus 41. So Castleford are 6 points behind us, effectively seven with that points difference. Mm. But we've got Saints this Thursday. Then we've got Wigan the week before Wembley. Then we've got Wembley. Then we've got Salford, Wakefield and Leeds.
Well, we're certainly going to be battered and bruised after that one yesterday. I mean, I don't know how long Austin's going to be out for, just how bad that strain is. But there's a few others that also might be up in front of the disciplinary committee this week. I think Hill will be there for a forearm in someone's face in the first half.
Not sure
Mamo did anything really wrong, but if they review some of that fighting, they might look back and also pull a few more of them up and sort of make an example to the rest of Super League.
Yeah, it depends whether they do it to individual players or whether maybe they hand out a fine to each club. You don't know.
Okay. All right. Now, it turns out Madam Boyd isn't all alone down there in a Michelin star chip shop, because Ralph has turned up, albeit on a probationary contract. Has Ralph perfected peeling the spuds? And does Ralph even know what potato is? Has he perfected jumbo battered sausages? Or is he just shallow frying his chipolata? Well, Dennis put his call into the fish supper for his fish supper, or was he left with nothing more than Rimmer's scraps? It's over to Madam Boyd.
Speaking.
Hi, Madam Boyd. How are you?
Who's speaking, please?
It's Dennis Waywell.
Oh, Dennis. Yes, yes. I do apologise, Dennis. I've had an awful week.
Oh, dear. What's happened, Madam Boyd?
Well, dear, it seems when I asked Ralph to take my bowls al fresco, I'm afraid he dropped them off at Tesco.
What? Is that some kind of reading or puzzle?
No, dear. I'm afraid Ralph's a bit of a fuckwit. You can't educate pork.
No, you can't. Can you still do as a prediction?
Well, I suppose I could try my crown green bowling balls. Maybe that will give you something?
Anything to fill time, Madam Boyd. Don't want to give Rob London any time to record any more Philbin albums.
Ralph boy, get me my bowling balls, please, Ralph. Come on, dear. They're right in front of you.
Well, it's a get delayed.
That's really not the right attitude, Ralph. Thank you. Right, let me see. Can't see the wood for the trees. Oh, dear, it's a wooden spoon.
I don't like the sound of that, Madam Boyd.
This really will not do. Ralph, it's time you went out to find my balls, dear.
What does that mean then, Madam Boyd? Does that mean you can't predict anything anymore without your balls?
That's right, Dennis. I'm afraid I'm going to have to take drastic action. Ralph, it's time to search the streets. Take the van to Tesco.
You know, it's the classic changing the tire on a bike as you route, as you...
Not the bike, the van, dear.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Oh, dear. What's gone wrong, Dennis? What has gone wrong?
I know. Well, I think it's a bit concerned that mentioning wooden spoon when we've, you know, one thing is Madam Boyd actually did say that there'd be down in the big smoke, silverware, etc. But, you know, at the moment, we might be looking at a wooden spoon. What do you think?
Don't think we're going to be that far down the table, Dennis. But intriguing to see that Ralph's not really fitting in down there, is he at all? He's just an absolute cluckfuster, just like he is at the ANR, at the Super League.
Yeah, pretty much the same. Everything he does is just an absolute waste of space.
All right. Now, following Steve Bryce's comments about wanting his players to be the brides at Wembley rather than the bridesmaids, just by coincidence, it turns out it's Milan Fashion Week. What would Brian Bevan headed down to the bridal catwalk to see if there are any familiar faces we could recognise?
Welcome to the Milan Fashion Week. I'm Halliwell Moans, and joining me to critique, as always, the man who knows more about tailoring and the inside leg measurements of the witch and famous more than anyone else, it's Savile Row tailor Fletcher Treat.
Yes, hello, Halli. It's great to be here, working with you again. Only seems like yesterday we were both whipping the cats around the upper classes of Cheshire. Oh, those lovely ladies.
Fletcher, stop it. It's bridal day today, and something a little bit different, as next on the catwalk is a bridal collection designed by a young Australian designer called Steve Price. He's a coach from a sport called Rugby League, and modelling his portfolio are his actual players from the Warrington Wolves. Steve's show is called Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, and Something Primrose and Blue. Fletcher, such a lovely play on words there in the title.
Yes, yes, I've definitely got something going there. I'm really looking forward to this bit.
First up, we have Ben Murdoch Masilla. He's wearing a stunning asymmetrical gown entitled Crocodile Tears. He certainly seems to be a bit top-heavy as he makes his way down the catwalk, Fletcher.
He's a lovely-looking specimen, isn't he? He reminds me of the sumo wrestling suits they used to wear on the stag parties north of the river. Yes, his shape is somewhat resembling of a hot air balloon, I think.
I like the added decoration of the numerous garters on Mr. Masilla's legs. Or are they bandages? I'm not quite sure.
No, they're not bandages. They're using a tapenade made from the compact non-fibrillating material. But I suppose, essentially, it is a bandage, but with a bit more panache.
Well, here we have Kevin Brown. He's wearing an off-the-peg number called Concussion Chimes. He's coming down the catwalk very slowly, almost having to be helped there. But a great to remember that bridal dresses are not just for the young. They can also be for the old and infirm. I'm guessing this is something old, Fletch.
Something old, something new. But yes, he's very en vogue, but the Silver Fox Brigade would be very appreciative of this. I see Kevin has gone for a mild shade of grey, although he does look 49 shades a bit short of a sex romp. But the dress, lacking in any kind of carbohydrate vitality, I wouldn't call it a knockout, Hallie, but that can't be said for the same of Kevin.
It's a flounce, it's a loose-fitting skirt that flares out with a ruffled hem. Oh, and I just love this one. How adorable. It's a more expensive fabric, certainly a dress for the wealthier part of the bride to buy. It's Lupa Burrell in a silk-fitted bodice and waist with a full-shape poof. It's called Slickness and Inunion. Apparently it's something new, Fletcher.
Something new indeed. I once fitted a young lady with such a design and remember thinking how much it would have benefited from a rah-rah skirt. Let's be honest, Hallie, it looks a bit amateurish. Oh, and there's a bit of an outbreak of clapping as he's kicking down the runway there.
Let's not talk about the clap. Next up is a gentleman in a dress called Lonely A Matter of Time. It's young Harvey Levette. I understand Harvey has spent little bit of time away from the Wolves, hence the play on words, something borrowed out on loan. It's a body-fitting chest with a tiny little waist over the hips and then down to the knees. I'm not sure this works. It's an off-white and it seems to be clashing a little bit, Fletch, with all that ginger.
Yes, Hallie. I've noticed that this model reminds me very much of that sideshow bod character of The Simpsons. I do think it's slightly tardy. We have some crushed beetles down the back of the dress. Probably the bottom of the price scale and more suitable for those other clubs, really. Not my cup of tea. If I was comparing Dunkin' Biscuits, then I'm a hobnob man every day. I'm certainly not a ginger nut.
Yes, it's a little bit shabby. It's not south of the river, this one. Oh, my word, what's going on here? It's all a little bit awkward as two players are making their way down the catwalk together. It's Michael Cooper and young Christopher Hill, both wearing matching bridal corsets called Just Good Friends. Photographers struggling here a little bit with Christopher's smooth head, struggling to get the lighting right. The stitching here, Fletcher, I'd like to have seen maybe a little bit more of a comb over than the up and under seam cross stitch.
I think you mean cutting turf here, Hallie. Yes, it's a bit clumsy. Looks like someone's been on the cob with this one. I must say that seeing them together like this really does demonstrate the cohesion of the design. It's a kipper. And really, the combination between the two in one outfit, yes, you can always pull it off when you work together. I'm a big fan. Love these boys here today.
Pulling it off. I like that, Fletcher. I like that a lot. Okay, it's a little bit different here. It's a real favourite here in Milan. This is Ben Curry. He's in an attire of a jewel of a dress, rounded at the neckline, sitting at the base of the chest. This one is labelled please make a break. Yes, almost covered from head to toe in lace, apart from just exposing a little bit of the kneecap. We understand Ben has had a serious knee injury, but it's great to see that sense of humour today, exposing the knees with such bridal power. Such fun. I absolutely love this one, Fletcher. I absolutely love it.
Oh, well, I think the jury's out on this one, Harry. I think the line breaks along the seam are lacking. The inner lining is a bit gappy, and which we all know allows the all and sundry to run through there. I'm hoping to see this will make an impact maybe next year, in 2020.
Interesting. Yes, a little bit ahead of its time, possibly there, Fletcher. Oh, my word. What's gone wrong here? We have a chap on the catwalk. Oh, yes. It's a real shame. He doesn't seem to know which way to face or which way to go. Oh, thank goodness. Someone now pointing him in the right direction. Oh, he's pointing back. Yes. Yes, that's the way, love. Yeah, down the front there. He's aimlessly pointing. He's stuttering. He's finally making his way down the catwalk. Apparently, his name's Declan Patton. He's wearing a dress called Swinton Swish We Wish. It's off the shoulder at the collarbones. It's a fabric then wrapping around the upper arms. It's a lovely cut. But again, at the end of the catwalk, he doesn't seem to know where to go. He's been led away now. Fletcher, it's such a shame, isn't it? You know, at times you need natural flair and more than just choreography to be a professional bridal model.
It's just, it's a tweed merchant, Hallie. I'm not a big fan of the props, but seeing a boy banging a drum like that's it's not for me, not today.
Wow, wow, wow. Oh, Milan raving about this one. Perhaps far too tuned for the high street retailer. It's called Knockout. Yes, it's worn by Sitaliki Akawala there in a fully bodied, covered frontal dress. But wait till he gets to the end of the catwalk and turns. Yes, ooh, there it is, a fully exposed bottom. Oh, this really is very rude, Fletcher, very rude and blue.
Oh, absolutely love this. Really pushing the boundaries with its shoulder pads and that innovative bespoke exposure at the rear really shows the power of the subject and those fine Lucidus Maximus. An absolute star in the making. Let's hope it's a Halliwell. Let's hope Halliwell. This is not just a flash in the pan or a flash behind the backside. Depending which way you look at it.
Yes, I've come out in all a hot flush, Fletcher. I really have. Now, what next? This is the only dress not to be designed entirely by Steve Price. It's a collaboration number between Steve Price and Vivian Westwood. It's called Westwood on Westwood. Almost Shrek in its design. Benjamin Westwood here, full veil down. I'm told not a veil you want to lift. Benjamin showing real experience here on the walk, lapping up the crowd. This is absolutely super, Fletch. Absolutely super.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. By no means a locker, but you can see the experience we're here with his number of stitching that's been going on over the years has really paid off. Let's congratulate the Westwood family for putting on a very highbrow design.
Absolutely wonderful. Really, really, really quality bridal wear there. All the players now in their dresses, making their way down the catwalk. Oh, Declan still struggling there, being pointed in the right direction. And now they part to rapturous applause as designer Steve Price, he makes his way down towards the front to a standing ovation from celebrities and fans in this wonderful collection. Oh, and would you believe it, Fletcher? Would you believe it, Steve? He's wearing a little Bo Peep bride outfit. It's called Resilience in Spades. Not sure that hat is working, Fletcher. The strap seems to be struggling to find any chin there.
Okay.
Fletcher, it's been a wonderful, wonderful time here. Next up, world-renowned designer Dennis Waywell presents models David Gandy and Gary Schofield in his new tackle bag, Boxer Short Range. That's all from us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it was absolutely delight having Halliwell Moans and Fletcher Treat on the podcast. We've been trying to get them on for a while. I think they really epitomised everything about this pod. Do we think, Sam, that really the players should be on their feet for that much of time, you know, prior to a big game at Catalans?
Well, that's a very good point, isn't it? You can't push them too hard in training, and you can't push them too hard on the catwalk, you know.
I remember reading Paul Vorton's book, and he said that, I only read it because I was staying in a bedroom and it happened to be on the bedside table.
Yeah, but you read the cover.
And he was going on about when he played for St. Helens the day before the cup final when they played Wigan. I think they got beaten about 28-0 or something. They all went to the races for the entire day and stood on their feet. And he couldn't quite comprehend what this was all about. And that was the British game for you. So I really do think this catwalk, it wasn't good for them, to be fair. Mm. Okay, right, let's move on to Paul and readers' wives. Dave Munro writes, he says, Deck needs to stay. Who else would bang the upside bucket at the post-winning changing room celebratory sing-along? Which is fair enough. We've also had an email from Loanna Rhodes. Loanna writes, she says, as a young single mother of two, as you can imagine, I live on a tight budget, but not as tight as the What Would Brian Bevan t-shirt I ordered following last week's episode. Please may I have a refund, as I believe I followed your instructions by providing you with my correct chest size. Obviously, Loanna, we are more than happy to refund you in full, but just so we can report back the defect to the manufacturers, if you could just email us a picture of you wearing it, please. I think you'll all agree.
No.
That's a better level of service than Marks and Spencer's.
Too far. And where's this bloody budget anyway?
Sign the alarm, Dennis. Sound the alarm.
All right, I'll be late. Go on.
What else has happened this week? Benny Westwood, Super Benny Westwood, has announced his retirement at the end of this season. He joined Wyatt in 2002 from Wakefield. He's played nearly 450 games. He's a bit short of that. He scored 128 tries, and he's also kicked 81 goals. His winning accolade was Players' Player and Fans' Player of the Year in 2007, and he was in the Super League Dream Team in 2008. He has also represented his country 26 times. Sam? Absolutely outstanding player for Warrington over the last decade or so.
Yes. I think the thing you can say about Ben Westwood, he's about to hang up his boots, but you never, ever, ever felt you wasn't getting 100% week in, week out. Even when he stepped over the line and hit a few people when he was younger, he was always full on, never hiding. So
nothing better than an accolade of hitting a few people when he was young.
One day he woke up when he was old and he went, I'll stop hitting people.
but I think really that when we look back on Ben Westwood, you'll think, tough bugger. And that's how you'll judge him. You won't judge him for silky passes going out to the winger with a big cutout. You'll think of him as, he gave everything. He'd run through a brick wall for you if you wanted. And, yeah, just an absolute brilliant player. The type of player that when he's yours...
On that scale of people running at you, because you always like to compare yourself with players running at you, what's the feeling this time with Ben Westwood running at you?
Oh, I'd be shitting it.
Oh, right. That's fair enough.
Oh dear. All right. Well, let's move on to the poll. The poll this week was, what kind of player do you think Wyatt should sign for next season? Options were prop, centre, loose forward or utility. Utility only came in at 6%. I think we've had enough of the utility players at Warrington. Loose forward, to me, this seemed a little bit low, 16%. Centre, 17%. But by another huge winner this week, 61%. Went to a prop. Just before we sort of get your opinions on that, you've got Loose Wire came up with a great explanation last week as to why he thought Wire were faltering. So because he was so good, we asked him to come back this week to see just what positional player he believes Wire could do with for next season.
Hello, it's Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire appearing again on the podcast. And this week I'm talking about recruitment and recruitment for 2020 for Warrington's squad. First of all, I'd quite like to make the point that I actually don't think Steve Price's recruitment, or the recruitment under Steve Price, should I say, has been particularly strong. I would say the only signings that have been a genuine success is Blake Austin and probably Matt Davis. Even someone like Josh Charlie, I don't think you can count him, because I think there were plans to sign him well before Price came. I think he was more of a Tony Smith signing, really. The likes of Goodwin, Murdoch, Masilla, Akawala, they'd probably fit in as, say, OK signings, but someone like Mamo hasn't really hit the ground running yet. A few of his signings even left before the end of last season, like Tyron Roberts, for example, so they didn't even last a full year. Which position do I think we need to strengthen most this window? For me, it's prop. I think we lose too many games in the forward battles. I think if you look at our two games against St Helens this season, they were both lost in the forward pack. You know, Alex Walmsley and Luke Thompson put in far stronger performances than, say, Hill or Cooper did. I actually think that loose forward, the issue is more the fact that we haven't decided who our first choice loose forward is. It's been a bit of a lottery who starts there this season. For me, as soon as Price picks a 13 and sticks to one, I think we'll be a lot stronger there, whether that's Jason Clark, Matt Davis, Philbin, whoever. You could even put Mike Cooper there if he signed a properly excellent prop, pardon the pun. Centre, I think we'll be okay at centre. You know, Luke Burrell, hopefully he'll hit the ground running when he plays a bit more next year, alongside probably Toby King, and we've got, say, Jake Mamo's backup as well. Looks like Anthony Gelling's going to sign also. So I think we're okay at centre. Even backs, like full back, I think Rashford, fantastic, and then good cover with Mamo on the wing, Lynham, Charlie and Mamo as cover as well. So you've got Mamo as your utility back. Half backs will be fine because obviously Gareth Widdicombe arrived. So for me, it really is prop that we need to address most. I'm not quite sure who that'll be, but let's hope it's someone impressive, someone who can make a lot of metres and help us win the forward battle, because for me that's where we lose quite a few games.
Sam, everyone seems in agreement. It's all prop. Do you think it should be a prop? To be fair, I think it should be a loose forward.
Well, in the modern game, we've not got a loose. We're not playing a loose forward in the way that they used to do. And if a genius player like Sculthorpe, or even, I'm going to spit when I say this, Andy Farrell came along, then you've got a loose forward. But other than that, it tends to be playing an extra prop. And I think I'm agreeing with the majority. We need somebody who's going to do some tackle busts. We've got excellent work from Hill, excellent work from Cooper, but neither of them really burst through the line and make a break in the way Thompson is at St Helens or Fifita does at Wakefield.
So if we are to sign a prop, does that mean we lose a prop?
We can lose Tarzi, I suppose, can't we? But if we're losing Westwood and we'll, whether Tarzi gets another contract or not, there's two forwards gone, and maybe replacing with one. But it's who you get, isn't it? It's who you get.
Well, I mean, going back to what, you know, you've got Alous Wire just said, he also doesn't believe that Price's signings have been really that spot on. You know, he's made a couple of clangers. I mean, I guess it's just a case of who you can get, isn't it?
It's a bit of an easy question, though, isn't it, to sort of come up with props. The thing is, people are shying away from actually saying, oh, well, there's a player existing in the other positions, so I'm actually saying I don't want that player, and just picking a prop because that could be one, two, three sort of players we've got.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what Sam does, isn't it, all the time, Dennis, to be fair. I mean, that's the way he is. My favourite loose forward of all, well, my two, three favourite loose forwards of all time were certainly Ellery Hanley. I go Harry Pinner as well. Oh, he was a terrific number 13. And also Stevie Norton, who played for Hull, would occasionally turn out at 13. He was a wonderful, wonderful player. Probably show my age there a bit, aren't I? Well,
yeah. Hanley is one of the greats, though, wasn't he?
I guess we should also mention Mike Gregory, although was Mike Gregory a ball playing 13? I guess he was to some extent. I guess he was. But we certainly not get anyone what I would class as a pivotal player in the middle of the park. You know, you've got your six and seven, and you've got Ratchford chiming into the line. But I would love to see a 13 that can distribute a ball each way. A bit like Mark Thomas used to when he wasn't in the feathers or on the sunburn. Okay, right. It seems the speed of technology accelerates. One minute it's jumpers for goalposts, CB radio and skateboards, and the next it's FIFA, iPhones and hoverboards. Well, we still don't have the hoverboards, but, you know, we'll get there eventually, won't we? So in keeping up with the cool kids and making sense, there's no way of tarnishing this section in a Luddite lubricant. Say that again. It's over to, no, not Dennis's tackle bags, but Dennis's interactive Tackle Bags Live.
Tackle Bags
Live.
So before we start the live section, totally unscripted today, I'll just go and refer back to last week. We looked at the suggestion of Tony Adams to look at the hybrid of rugby and football and create a new game to get more interest in our game. Here I offered some suggestions on how it would look, including a penalty box, offering the offensive a chance of an advantage, a conversion under the sticks with worth 3 points where the defence can deploy a goalkeeper. So, I've lost Rob already.
No, I'm still here. I've just got an absolutely shocking back. You see, a couple of weeks ago, when I was in England, we hired a rowing boat at Grasmere and we rowed out to the island. Now, first of all, you can no longer park on the island, which was disappointing. Oh. But secondly,
do you park a boat? Is that what you do? Park a boat?
He's been camping, but he's still spot on there, isn't he? Bloody hell. So I've hurt me back. So I'm just sitting down whilst you do this bit. So I am listening, Dennis, and I'll pop up when you need.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, I thought I'd try and get hold of Tony Adams anyway, if he thought my ideas were any good, based on obviously the listeners' responses. Funny enough, 89% of them said no. Well, could you believe it? Anyway, basically someone wrote in, I haven't even got a name for this one, is he back on the bottle or is his chain for Superman Tony Adams made of kryptonite? And then Dick in bold. So definitely no. Yes, 8%, great idea. We can call it Frugby or Rugball. So that's from Ivor Big Cockney. And other 13.3%. Oh, get my percentages mixed up now. That makes Tackle Bags look good. Thank you, Gavin Spades. Yes, for that one. Right. But what that does show you is that, you know, the RFL and Ralph Rimmer, in his wisdom, sort of deploying someone like Tony Adams for rapper. Yeah, the RFL. What's the face you've got on there, Mr. London? Is that Benny Hill?
No face, Dennis. No face. Just listening in. Listening in.
Okay.
Keep going.
So are we ready for the interaction?
Yes. Come on. Bring it on.
Right. Okay. So this week, there's been referee calls that are now influencing the game. So we had a few incidents in the past. We've had an incident against London, I think, where the forwards ran through the line and actually ended up making a line break because the referee had made a call and Darryl Clark didn't know whether he was referring to him or not. So it ended up being a bit of an issue. So we've got this in our game. We need to try and eliminate it. And I'm going to prove this now with a little live experiment with a video. I'm holding up a card. So what is on the card there?
It says cool or call.
Right. And I've got another card. Read that.
Fall or fool.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to play you a video now. And listen if you can see the difference.
Fool. Fool.
Could you tell which one is which out of those two words?
Oh, they were different, were they? I thought she said the same word on both. I thought she said fall.
Yeah.
So. I think it's the accent.
Okay, here's another one.
Yeah, cool. Right. Cool or cool. Yeah, I'm ready. Right, we're ready.
Cool. Cool.
Oh, that's cool. That's definitely cool.
Now, first one was cool. Second one was cool.
Interesting. We might have got that one right. And then one more.
Pussy. Pussy.
So that could be quite an issue if you get that one wrong. Obviously, there's a couple of different types of pussy. There's the cat and also an infected wound.
Interesting.
So what do you think?
The last one?
Yeah.
Well, I think she said infected wound on the first one.
Yeah.
And the second one, I think she said James Childs, massive twat.
I think, yes, you might have got that right. So what I've done is I've invented some referees' phrases.
Oh, this is still going on. Oh, my goodness, it's still going, Sam. It's still going.
Tackle one.
Yes.
Tackle two.
Now, here the thing is, what we're trying to do is we're trying to take out the elimination of interpretation of different referees. And what we want is to actually have a loudspeaker attached to the referee that actually gives out some generic calls. So we can actually know exactly what's going on. Yes?
That'd be really good, wouldn't it? Get
off him.
See?
Run down. Shot clock on. Get your head in. Shot clock off. Line on. Goal line dropout.
So you can see that, obviously, with that actual standardisation of actual referees' calls, it makes it a lot simpler. Players understand the referee. The crowd don't get angry with the referee coaching them. And quite clearly, you know, it's a lot simpler to play the game of rugby rather than playing the game of the referees' calls. Actually, I went one step further. I made a bit of a Ben Thaler one, so you could always just customise them with their voices just to give it that bit of grace.
I've got a try, but the match will have to go to the screen. No milking penalties. What would mother say?
So you could see there, you could actually do it with Ben Thaler as well. Thank you. If you think that's a cracking idea, write in to the usual at whatbevin@gmail.com, Brian Bevin Facebook page, and all the other ones that Rob London is about to reel off.
Well, I have to say, I was at lunch today with my daughter, and she said to me, "Are you on Instagram?" And I said, "I don't think we are." She said, "Daddy, you've got to get on Instagram." So I'll leave that one for you, Sam. If you could get us up on Instagram this week, a few pictures. Let me see. So okay. Cute as well. That'd be good. Okay, excellent.
All right. Okay.
Okay. In a rehearsal for Wembley, we take on Saints next Friday. Not sure it's a complete dress rehearsal, as I'm assuming neither team will be wearing the same kit and they'll also be performing at a different stage. But talking of dress rehearsals, Dennis, you like to dress up in elaborate costumes. Do you expect a theatrical performance to unfold between Wire and Saints?
I don't actually. It could be a bit of a disaster movie, I think, is probably what's going to happen. I don't really see us performing. I think Sam's alluded to the fact that something's not quite clicking. I think that still remains the case.
Okay, well, let's have your prediction, Dennis. What score are you going for?
We're at home, aren't we?
Yeah. Yes.
So I think, okay, we might score a few tries. So I reckon about 16-42.
Gee, okay. Well, Sam, I'm told from Mrs. Sankey, you prefer donning a gimp mask with a Terry's chocolate orange up your arsehole. So in keeping with that logic, do you expect a tight segmented muffle grind on Friday night?
I don't want to get drawn into this. I think this will go very similar to the two previous games. I think we'll tackle hard. We'll be in the game for 40 minutes. And then they'll blow us away in the second half. They're just too strong for us at the minute. And we've just come off the back of last night's match. So I'm going to say we're only going to score 10 points and they're going to be 36.
Mm, okay. Well, I mean, I got it spot on last week. So really, I'm the guy you need to
Did
go
you?
To anyway. Yeah, 30 points to 10. Absolutely nailed it, mate, last
I must
week.
Have missed so. That.
I've sent about 28 WhatsApp messages this morning bragging about it.
Oh, is that what that was? I have no idea. Don't believe that.
Okay, well, I think it's going to be worse than that because we're going to be without Blake Austin. So I'm going to go for a shocker here. I'm going to go Warrington 6, St. Helens 52.
How do you know we're going to be out without Blake Austin?
Well, because his leg snapped in half yesterday.
They're going to wrap him up in cotton wool, aren't they? They're not going to play him unless he's fit.
Dennis, you really have been away at the races, haven't you? Yeah, no, walking up and down to the Abbey, pissed up.
Yeah, if you looked, he just sort of like, yeah, he limped off a little bit, but it doesn't mean he's going to be out.
All right. We'll see. Okay, well, enjoy the big game, everyone. Our apologies if you place your order for your T-shirt and you haven't yet received it. We had a little hiccup with the delivery drone and its flux capacitor. Keep your emails coming in to whatbevan@gmail.com. Seek us out at Facebook at Brian Bevan or tweet at whatbevan. Also, Sam will have us up on Instagram by tomorrow. So until we meet again, it's a goodbye from a man that's not only good under a highball, but has been known to catch one or two bouquets in his time. It's a, I'll see you at the altar from Sam.
All the best.
And from our very own honeymoon of the podcast, be gentle with me as we drive off into the sunset. It's a carry me over the threshold from Dennis.
Be seeing you.
My name's Rob London, and it's an I Do From Me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Do you think the tackle bags bit worked with the pussy one?
I got a little bit of an erection.
That's what happens to me with a wound.
It's only ever a little bit with you, isn't it though, Rob? Spider-Man. Of the blissfully